financial literacy, and the human condition. Welcome to Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham.
Yeah.
You are not alone. My goodness. So many people, even if they did save a lot, by age 48, maybe getting a divorce, may have lost a spouse, lost a job, helping their kids. There's all kinds of reasons why people in that age group don't have much put away for savings. So the very first thing is, of course, you know, I'm going to say, it is never too late. But he asked a very important thing. Is it too late to do something meaningful?
Right.
He didn't say, is it too late to start? It's never too late to start. Is it too late to do something meaningful? No. Hi, it's Francis. I just wanted to take a minute to thank you for watching this video. If you're catching us on YouTube, please help us help others by clicking like, subscribe, and all notifications so you don't miss any videos. And check back for the next video. I think you're going to love it. Thanks again. For more information, you can visit us at hugyourmoney.com.
Welcome to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Raham. Hi.
Hi, Jess. I haven't seen you in a little bit. How are you?
I'm doing well. And these are always my favorite shows because we're doing some questions and answers today.
Well, questions at least. We'll see if I have the answers. So, yeah, I love to do these too because they're real. You know, these are questions that people ask all the time and that I don't get a chance to answer one-on-one for everybody. So bringing it to the air like this is a nice way for us to be able to just chit-chat and get down and dirty in some real financial questions. Not always really financial, too. A lot of the times they're just emotional or psychological, or they're just about, you know, why doesn't my partner get it? Why am I like this? Whose fault is this anyway?
And I want to remind everybody too that I do not tell you what these questions are ahead of time, the ones that I get.
That's
so
true.
You're just on the spot and, you know, flying from the hip, I guess, but
living on the edge.
Exactly. All right, you want to dive right in?
Sure. Bring it on.
All right. Let me get over to our first listener question. All right. This is from Melissa in Greenfield. She says, I have about $6,000 in credit card debt, but only $1,000 in savings. Should I throw everything at the cards or keep building my emergency fund first?
Well, I wonder what we're going to tell her, Jess.
I know the answer to this.
Do not throw everything at the card. But let's get into that a little more deeply because, you know, your logic tells you, wow, I'm saving at 4% and I'm spending at 29% on my card or whatever. Why don't I just throw this at the card? But if you really think about this, the reason you have $6,000 in credit card debt and only $1,000 in savings is because you probably don't have quite enough money coming in to handle those sort of surprise expenses or holidays you didn't plan for or keeping up with the Joneses or whatever, right? So you ended up with this $6,000 of credit card debt. But here's how I want you to think about this. First of all, the very first thing is I think it is ultimately important that you have emergency cash reserves. So I would say keep building your cash reserves. But I'm going to balance this out a little bit. You want to try to do both things, right?
Okay.
If you only have that one debt, if all you have is that credit card debt, then honestly, Hug Your Money isn't going to get you out of debt any faster, except for probably the budgeting and the coaching parts that we do, which might substantially help. But the software is not going to work faster with only one debt. But once you have two or more, it will help you. So let's
suppose most people have, by the way.
Yeah, most, maybe even this woman, but her person. So let's suppose that they only have that one debt.
Okay.
So you only have that one debt. It's $6,000. You only have $1,000 in savings. I've already said don't throw all your savings at the credit card debt, but balance it out. So step one is let's say that she is or they are right now saving, you know, $50 a month, and that's how they are building that $1,000. Maybe you split that. Maybe you save $40 a month and $10 a month extra goes to the principal of your credit card. Try to balance it out in that way. But before you decide any of that, do some reality tracking. Check your real budget, not what you think you spend, not your hard expenses. The actual money that you spend every day for at least a month, 2 months, 3 months, so that you understand why you've built up that credit card debt. Not just, well, I needed a refrigerator and that was the problem. Because I needed a refrigerator and that was the problem, should have come out of cash reserves if you had a real vision of everything you're spending, okay?
Okay.
All of that being said, I understand that you want to pay off that high interest rate using your savings. But if you deplete your savings, the only thing that will happen is the next time you're in this position, if you haven't tracked reality and set up a real budget you can live within and built some cash reserves, you're going to be back into the credit card again. Last but not least on this question. This is going to seem a little strange to people when I say this, but it's not the only thing to think about. But think about this way. Your $6,000 credit card is probably charging you about $120 a month in a payment, up to maybe $240 a month in a payment, right? But if you had, let's just suppose she had $6,000 in savings to throw at it, how long would it take her to break even at $120 a month? How many $120 a month payments would she have to make before she broke even on that $6,000 she depleted her savings by? Yes, it's way oversimplified, but what I want you to th start thinking of here is, wow, if that was, let's say, 5 years, just to do easy math, if it takes 5 years before I've recouped basically my $6,000 that I gave up in savings, was I able to save that money up again in 5 years? Because I don't have that credit card payment. Probably it's probably a wash, right? That strips away the high interest rate. I know it's overly complicated. Here's the simple down and dirty. Do not send all your cash reserves to that credit card. Balance it out, track reality, and start to think in terms of, if I do give up my savings, will it really solve my problem? Will $120 a month back in my pocket really solve my problem? Or am I just trying to stamp out a fire? I don't like that credit card. It's got a high interest rate. I should get rid of it.
Should you be making sure though that you are paying more than just what that interest is every month or like towards your principal?
Ideally, yes. But if you don't track reality, you don't know if you can really do it. And so a lot of times what people do is they send extra because they don't know that they can't. It seems like it's in the account. And then something happens. There's not enough money. This is the cycle that everybody complains about. How did I end up in this place? This is how you ended up in that place. Yeah.
Next one, Kevin from Turner's Falls asks, I'm 48, barely have anything saved for retirement. Is it too late to make a meaningful difference, and where should I start?
Okay,
A big
Kevin,
question.
welcome to America, Kevin. You are not alone. My goodness, so many people, even if they did save a lot by age 48, maybe getting a divorce, may have lost a spouse, lost a job, helping their kids. There's all kinds of reasons why people in that age group don't have much put away for savings. So the very first thing is, of course, you know, I'm going to say it is never too late. But he asked a very important thing. Is it too late to do something meaningful? He didn't say, is it too late to start? It's never too late to start. Is it too late to do something meaningful? No. But you need to define meaningful, and you need to be very, very careful about how you're doing it. In fact, what is meaningful? In other words, let's suppose that he is carrying some debt. At 48, he probably is, maybe a mortgage, car payment, credit card, student loans. If you're carrying debt, your quote, retirement savings dollars may actually be more meaningful paying off that debt if you can do it with a very low effective interest rate. So, like the first example, you don't want to take whatever you could be saving for retirement and just throw it at debt without a plan because it's going to cost you a lot of money. If you do something like Hug Your Money, where the software is muscling that interest rate down to about less than 3% in most cases, and you're paying all your debt off, including your mortgage, in about 9 years or less, then that not only frees up dollars for retirement after that point, but along the way, it opens up options to do what we were just talking about, balance that money out. Let's say you've retired enough debt that it's $500 a month in payments. You don't owe that anymore. Maybe 300 goes to your savings and maybe 200 continues to go to debt. But you have to do something. You have to do something, Kevin, in order for it to be meaningful. And you need to analyze what is meaningful to you and then run the scenarios. What does it look like if I save this money and keep paying this debt? What does it look like if I pay off this debt first and then save for retirement, et cetera?
Okay,
Good
let's try to
question.
get one more in for the first half here.
My answers
And
are long. Okay.
wait, no, it's fine. And we talked about some of these questions being emotional, and this one is. Donna from Shelburne Falls asks, my adult son is struggling financially and frequently wants help. How do I support him without jeopardizing my own retirement?
Wow. What a fabulous question and well worded. That is every parent's question, right? Every parent's question. How does any parent who loves their children, like all parents do, watch them struggle and say no, when really your role as a parent, at least up until that point, has been kids first, me second. But when you're in that time crunch, when retirement is looming, the child has more time to recover and improve their financial situation, and you have less. And it's now time for the roles to start to reverse a bit. Yes, they're struggling. It's easy for me to say, look, you're not helping them by paying things for them all the time because someday you might not be around and they need to learn how to do this. So the answer is you get them involved, believe it or not. The most uncomfortable thing is to talk to your kids about money. Like, hey, I really can't afford to do that. But this is like when they're little. When you say to a child in a store, no, we can't afford that, all the kid hears is no. They don't know about afford. They don't believe you. They just say, mom or dad just said no. That's it.
Yep,
I don't
they
know
think you're
why,
being
but
mean.
that's their go-to excuse. When your children are older and they are able to comprehend this, it's time to start talking to them about why this can't continue long term. I can help you for now in this way, but you need to understand that I'm not going to be able to do it long term because I'm facing my own timelines. And so let's work together to figure out how we're both going to come through this well. And in that way, you can kind of bond, right? So most adult children will really, really respect their parent for talking to them like this. If you frame it that way, let's work together to figure out how we're both coming out of this clean. And then you talk to them about let's start finding out what is going to change for you in the future. How will that happen? Here's my caveat. Don't put your parent hat on for this one. Don't lecture them about how they have to get a job. They shouldn't have married that person. They got to stop spending on lattes. Don't do it. It won't get you anywhere except for resistance. Instead, ask them for their help. As an adult son, daughter, child, it's uncomfortable for me, but I have to talk to you about this because I am now 65, whatever it is, and I'm wanting to retire, and I'm certainly not blaming you for this. You're my child, and I love you, and I want to help you. But the best way I can help you is for us to figure this out together. And honestly, I need you to help me too. This is the buddy system. We're going to go on a diet together. We're going to go to the gym together. We're going to fix our finances together. And if they won't do it, if they see you as the ATM, this is your wake-up call. And if they will do it, then you're both going to get better together. I hope
Yeah, I'm
that's.
wondering too if you're doing okay financially, but should you still have a cutoff probably at some point with them?
You can teach them to fish or you can give them a fish. I'm sorry. It sounds hard. I know you want to help them forever. Some people have enough money that they don't care, but I have heard so many stories. I gave my kid everything. I built this business for my kids. My kids don't want it. My kids just spend it. They don't have any. You gotta do work ethic, financial stuff, moral stuff. As a parent, you have to do it. It's your job.
Gotta do the
It's your
hard things.
job, right?
All right. Well, for some of the hard and easy questions and questions altogether, how do people get a hold of you?
Well, if they still want to talk to me, they can reach us at 413-773-3333.
And you can go to hugyourmoney.com. We'll be back with more questions and answers from the money doctor, Dr. Francis Rahm, right here on Financial Fitness.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Franklin County Technical School. We build futures. Visit fcts.us or call 413-863-9561.
Welcome back to Financial Fitness. I'm Jess Tyler, along with the Money Doctor, Dr. Francis Rahm. Hi.
Hi, look how
How are
happy
you?
I am.
Yeah. How are you doing with all these questions so far?
I love this stuff. This is like a little town hall to me without the political baggage. right?
Exactly. And I've got a ton of questions for you. This one is from Montague as well. Amanda, my car payment is eating up a huge part of my paycheck, but I owe more than the car is worth. What do I do? Yeah, right.
Wow, that is a complicated one. I'll try and be there's no way to be quick. Okay.
Okay.
It's eating up more than your paycheck and it's worth less than you owe.
She says it's eating up a big part. Yeah, a big
A
part of
big
the
part of
check.
her paycheck, yeah. If it's really dragging you down the rabbit hole and you're looking at this car is going to in turn cause me to fail financially in a bigger way, and you cannot fix it by earning more money, then you have to look at your options. Your options, option one is you stop making payments on it. I'm not saying these in the order of preference. These are just different options, okay? You stop making payments on it. It eventually falls into to foreclosure. They come and tow it away.
And
They
you wreck
take it
your
to,
credit, right?
yeah, you hurt your credit. They take it to auction, and if it sells for less than you owe, you are still on the hook for the balance. Now you are paying on what we call a dead horse, okay? That's an option. It's not my favorite, but it's an option. A good option might be this, if she can do it, and this is my favorite one. You do something called recasting the loan. Now, your lender might not call it recasting. They might call it refinancing or whatever, but let's say she's been driving this car for 2 years already, but she still owes enough that they might refinance it for a 6 or 7 year loan. Even though I don't love those long car loans because sometimes the car is dead before the loan is done, if she can do that, she could lower her payment and then throw it into a program like ours along with other debts if she has them and still pay it off fast. So then she gets the low payment, some breathing room, and she still pays it off way ahead of schedule. That's a possibility. Another possibility is she trades it in to a dealer, and now she's what we call upside down. Don't you love these terms? Dead horse, upside down. Now she's upside down. In other words, they take the extra that she owes on that car and they put it on the new loan with the new car or used car. But it's kind of, yeah, you breathe a sigh of relief for a moment, but it's not the best option. However, she could do the same thing with that. If she can get herself into an affordable payment, she can then put it in our program and pay it off ahead of schedule. And the last, of course, maybe not the last, I always have more, but there is one more idea, which is to simply sell it retail and come up with a small loan to pay off the balance. But then you're going to have to drive something else or do public transportation or whatever is available to you, borrow a car, however you're going to handle your transportation after that. But that at least might be, okay, I'm out of the car and I only have a $4,000 loan and I have 5 years to pay it off and I can afford that. What am I going to do in the meantime? Am I going to drive a beater, borrow a car, carpool, walk, bike, whatever?
Options two and three seem better than one because one seems like, okay, you could be on the hook for money and you're also going to have a worse credit score when you're trying to pay it off.
I mentioned one because that's what most people do. They let it go to repossession. I think I said foreclosure like a home, but they let it go to repossession. And then that stuff happens and they're surprised that they still owe money at the end. You know, well, they repoed my car, let them chase me for the money. Well, they're going to, and it's going to show up on your credit too. And you may end up owing that. Okay.
All right. Tom from Coleraine. I'm trying to decide whether to take Social Security early or wait. What factors should go into that decision?
Hey, Tom, one of the most common questions we get. This is a little flippant, but how long are you going to live? Because that's the answer. No, nobody really knows. Now, what we do know is that Social Security goes up by about 8% a year. So if you can afford to wait, I tend to lean towards waiting. But these are not cookie cutter answers. Maybe it's better for you to take it now. Maybe you have some health concerns. Maybe you need the money now. Maybe it would drastically change your life now. Could be a number of reasons to take it now. All things being equal, I would prefer that you wait until full retirement because you will never make that money up again. But the argument is from people, especially people who want to take it now, is yeah, but if I wait 3 more years, I get this much less money and I never got all my money. But unless you know when you're going to die, you don't know. So you balance things like that. Do I need it now for these reasons or can I do it a different way? Because your savings probably aren't growing at 8% a year. And Social Security goes up by 8% a year.
Do you get people, though, that are worried and want to take it now because of all the news stories about how it's going away or it's going to be greatly reduced?
All the
Yeah,
time,
you're
all
in.
the time.
Yes.
And the scary part about that is a lot of them are working now. And
Yeah.
that means that they may be getting, they may be falling into that tax bubble of for every $2 I make, $1 gets reduced, blah, blah, blah. And so you don't want to do this by panicking, that's for sure.
Okay.
And even if you did take it now, there's no guarantee that they don't change something and pull the plug on it.
Oh, that's uplifting. Okay. Oh, this is kind of similar to the other question that we just had. Nancy from Gill says, I spend a lot helping my grandkids with clothes, activities, and everyday expenses. How do I know when generosity is starting to hurt my own finances?
You're
That's,
already asking me.
yeah.
That's so easy because grandkids are even harder because they see
Yeah.
grandparents as the lottery, And
Yeah,
if
or
my
even
mom and
sometimes
dad
the
say
kids
no,
do. Or even sometimes the kids do. Like they think, oh,
that's right.
mom can pay for camp for the kids,
That's exactly right. But it may not be, what was that? How does she know if it's hurting her finances? Was that
Yeah.
the end of it? Yeah, it may not be hurting her finances. But if it's on her mind enough to ask that question, it's hurting her mental attitude. And she may be starting to feel a little
Taken
taken
advantage of.
advantage of. Yeah,
Yeah.
yeah. And so start to, you don't sit down your grandkids and say, listen, I'm not your ATM and I'm not doing this stuff anymore. You start to make small pullbacks. You start to teach them about spending their own money, like we were talking about the son, where you're doing this together. So the next time the grandchild wants this or wants that, maybe if they're old enough, you start setting them up with the Pablo the Pirate Cat, spend, save, share jars, right?
Yeah.
For teaching kids about money, you can look us up on YouTube and look up Pablo the Pirate Cat, which is a cartoon about teaching kids how to manage money well. And then
Yep.
you make it fun and you make it okay, you have $2? Well, I'll kick in the other 20. Okay, that's fair, or whatever you decide. But get them involved. Get them involved. The number one thing that I think almost anybody you speak to wishes had happened is that their parents had taught them about money. And instead, we shield them from money because we think we're being kind to them. Yeah.
Yeah, not that I'm an expert or anything, but another thing that I think maybe you could try is if there's like some services that you pay for now that they could do, exchange that. Like if you're paying someone to mow your lawn, be like, okay, I'll pay for this, but you do this. Like a barter system almost.
Yes, remind us how many children you have.
All right, this is one that I'm seeing a lot. I see a lot of ads for these things. So this is a great question, I think, from Ashley Millers Falls. I use Buy Now, Pay Later for clothes and household purchases because the payments seem manageable. Is that type of borrowing dangerous?
It can be, yeah, for sure. Because what you're doing is, this is a little graphic, but this is the scientific experiment of the frog in the pot of water.
Okay.
And it seems really manageable when it's cold and the frog is swimming around and it gets a little warmer and the frog's going like, hey, spa, this is cool. And the next thing you know, what happens to the frog is the heat gets turned up, right? So this sneaks up on you. You keep buying, you keep layering, you keep layering, you keep layering. And then all of a sudden, the layered payments are too much for you to afford. But I have no problem with the idea of making payments for something. I used to love the idea of layaway that they had
Yeah.
at stores where you didn't get the stuff until it was paid for, but you still had payments.
Oh, there was
So,
always the Christmas layaways every year, remember?
yes. But the difference here is immediate gratification. You aren't putting that money in a savings jar until you or a savings account until you can afford that item. You get the item now and you pay later. Just put your corporate hat on for a second and think, why would someone do this? And this is why they do it, because they know if they have to wait for you to save that up, you might not buy it. But right now, while you're excited, you can pull the trigger and buy it. The only thing I would tell her is, again, this is about visibility. You have to be aware of what you can actually spend. And when you're reaching that mark that is, this is too much, which is basically the answer to just about every question we had today, is awareness. Ask
Yeah.
yourself, do I know where my money is actually going? Not, am I to blame for buying a latte? All right.
Yeah.
This is triage before guilt every single time here. What we're really seeing here, Jess, and this I talk about this a lot in The Quiet Pressure. What we're really seeing isn't random stuff. Like you just asked me a variety of questions that might seem random to someone. It's not random stuff. It's a pattern with leverage points, right? And it's driven by being uncoordinated. In other words, corporate America has their stuff together. They are coordinated. They know exactly how to play us.
Yeah.
But we're on the other side going, I don't know. I want to buy it now, pay it later. Maybe I can afford that car. What about my grandkids, right? When you start to coordinate your finances and you're aware of it, we triage first. We put guilt on the back burner. No judgment, no guilt, even if I
Yeah.
sound judgmental in this, I'm really not. And we identify those patterns, both emotionally and financially. And
Yeah.
then we coordinate a structure that applies leverage to speed up the process of financial improvement. If
Got
that
it.
sounds complicated, basically it's you got to be aware in order to
Yeah.
put a plan in place and get better.
Those services, though, like Afterpay or Klarna, where you get to do that and they say it doesn't affect your credit, is that, does it really not affect your credit, or you, or that, is that too broad of a question?
No, I think they don't pull your credit report.
Okay.
Okay. Not affecting your credit is an interesting term. It caught my ear the second I heard it in an ad. It won't affect your credit.
It's everywhere.
Yeah, it is. And it's very, again, corporate America knows this stuff, right? That's very carefully worded. This won't affect your credit. What it really should say is we won't pull your credit report. We won't ding up your credit in order for you to get this. That doesn't mean it won't affect your credit down the road in some way, obliquely. If you can't make all the payments and you start to default on stuff, it'll affect your credit. So, yeah, awareness, awareness, awareness.
You want to squeeze one more in?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Jason from Orange says, I know my finances are a mess, but I've honestly been avoiding opening bills and checking balances because it makes me anxious. How do I get past the first step?
Wow. You know, the key word there was anxious. He's not unlike a lot of people, and we all have some anxiety over something, I think. The thing people don't believe is that even very wealthy people have anxiety over money. It's just about different areas. They worry about who they're going to leave it to and how they're going to get taxed on it and things like that. So just about everybody has some anxiety. So, you know, I'm not a therapist, but what I would say has been very valuable here is that you change one thing, and it doesn't have to be the scariest thing. I'm not going to tell him to go to the mailbox, open up his bills. He knows to do that. He can't do it. He's anxious. He doesn't want to do it. So that would be foolish for me to say, well, this is what you're going to change. Tomorrow, you're going to go and open up your bills. It won't happen. Instead, I want him to find something that he enjoys doing, even if it's not about money. He likes to go for a walk. Go for a walk. I don't care. I know this sounds strange, but choose one thing and change it. One thing for yourself that you enjoy. So let's say it's go for a walk. So he goes for a walk and he enjoys the walk. All that tells him is there was some positive reinforcement. He chose one thing to change about himself. He did it and it felt great. That can translate into small steps about finance. Maybe a week later, after walking every day, he comes back from the walk and he thinks the whole way back, you know, when I get back, I'm going to take the bills out of the mailbox. I'm not going to open them. Just going to put them on the desk there. That's the step I'm going to make there. And the following week, I'm going to start opening those. You just have to fool your mind into being less afraid, less anxious of the thing that's scaring you the most. But for me, it was singing, right? I'm a vocalist and I have sung for years. It took me 2 or 3 years of singing with everybody telling me I looked really comfortable up there and all of that to be really comfortable up there.
So fake it till you make it.
Nobody else knew it but me, but boy, did I know the difference when I crossed that path, you know? Yeah, really, fake it till you make it. Just treat yourself to something nice that you like to do and see how you feel, and then decide, can you apply that to your money in some way?
All right, so many good questions. Thank you for taking the time to answer them. If you've got a question, you can send it to J Tyler at, oh, where should I tell him to send it now? Bear953 or WHMP.com.
They don't send it to Franklin County now?
Oh, maybe they do now. See, that's the thing.
I don't know.
I'll put a link up with where they can send questions to. All right.
But what am I going to do with the audio? Yeah, I just won't have the, well, if you have any, just give me some audio that says if you have questions, you can email info@hugyourmoney.com
Okay, perfect.
Or your bear country thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
If you've got any questions and you want the money doctor to answer them, you can email them to info@hugyourmoney.com or you can email me at jtyler@bear953.com. In the meantime, let's get your phone number.
Sure. And I just want to be clear, if they email you, you're not answering the questions. You're just asking me.
Yeah. No, you won't like my answer. I'll be like, go to Starbucks a couple times. It's fine. Yeah. You would know it was me.
Okay. You can reach us at 413-773-3333.
All right. Thank you. We'll be back next week with the money doctor, Dr. Francis Ram, right here.
But I was there. I remember having to be upside down on a car and going to my dad and going to the dealer, begging them for some solution. I ended up in this awful Subaru I hated. The Subaru was fine, but I was too young for it. And I was like, I'm driving an old person's car.
Yeah, at least it wasn't a minivan.
Big numbers of speed on the dash and digital. The numbers were like 35 miles an hour. Pedal to the floor thinking, 36, 36. I can make
rocking.
It 36.
Financial Fitness with the Money Doctor is underwritten by Hug Your Money.
Permission granted to chase your dreams.
Will you help us spread the word about financial fitness? Please like, subscribe, and choose all. Thank you.